and now he is risen and ascended on high, seated at the right hand of the Father. But even though he is seated there, he is still continuing his mission. That earthly mission began long ago, but in a different way. He does it now through us, because we are the body of Christ. You see, whenever we gather around word and sacrament, there Jesus is. And when we receive him, he's in our minds, he's in our hearts, he's in our spirits. Not only doing his work in us, but through us, bringing his care and provision to the world, this common grace as we live out our callings and vocations of life. As we share the good news of the gospel, that saving grace, he's doing his work to make people alive in that love and salvation that he has won for us. And so, in a very real way, by word and sacrament, he bodies us together, and we become the presence of Jesus in the world today. We are his feet that go. We are his hands that reach. We are his voice that speak words of faith, of hope, and love in this fallen and broken world today. And it's a privilege to be able to be here to help empower and equip you to join Jesus on that mission. We're going to do so today by taking a look at our text. We're going to take a look at part of our gospel text today, but we're going to rewind the tape just a little bit to look at John chapter 1, starting at verse 19, and we're going to go through 34, which was part of our gospel text today. And we're going to see a confession that John, that it might be a good confession for us to make as well. So here's the context of our text. We have John the Baptist. He's kind of this crazy-looking guy dressed in camel's hair, eating locusts and honey. By the way, locusts for kids is kind of basically like a grasshopper type thing. That's what he ate. That was his diet. And he's out in the wilderness, and he is calling God's people to repentance, and he's baptizing in the Jordan River. And you see, the people are flocking to him. Now, what's interesting, though, is that baptism was not unfamiliar to God's people, Israel, except baptism was reserved to Gentiles converting to the faith. And so it was a representative cleansing of repentance to become part of God's people, Israel. But this is the interesting thing. John wasn't calling Gentiles. He was calling God's chosen people, Israel, to come. And the reason for that was John had a mission to prepare the way for the Messiah. And people were going because there was messianic expectation in the air. People were anticipating that the Messiah, the Savior, the one who would come and rescue and redeem Israel, would come at any moment, and perhaps, maybe even John himself might be the one. So much so, in fact, that the Pharisees and Sadducees, when they hear about the ministry of John and they see the people going, that they send representatives and they ask John this question: who are you? Now, John knows that they're expecting that perhaps this could be the Messiah, and he makes a very clear proclamation, a confession. He says these words: I am not the Christ. Well, then they're wondering, well, who are you then? Are you Elijah, who many thought would come ahead of the Messiah? Are you one of the prophets? And John says, no, I'm not any of those either, but I am the one that Isaiah the prophet foretold, the one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. And then they ask the question, well, if you're not the Christ or Elijah or the prophets, why are you baptizing? He says, I baptize with water, but there's one who's coming that you do not know, who's greater than I, because he came before me. I'm not even worthy to bow down and to untie his sandals. That's how great this one is. Now, as we consider this text from John and this confession, I am not the Christ, there are words that are very easy for us to gloss over. We might say, hey, you know, good recognition on John. He doesn't have a Messiah complex. He's recognizing what his role is, that he's not the Messiah to come. He's just to prepare the way. But then to just kind of continue reading on and get to the good stuff when Jesus shows up, right? But I want us to pause for a second today and consider that this confession of John might be a good confession for us to adopt, especially as we consider 2020. Here's what I mean by that. You know, there are times in my life in which perhaps I've taken on responsibility for things that I shouldn't have done. I used to be a pastor at a church in the San Francisco Bay Area in Dublin, California, a number of years ago. And it was a congregation that when I arrived, it was two-thirds less membership than it had been 10 years before. They used to have a very large, thriving school, preschool through eighth grade, and it was struggling with enrollment. Finances were not good. They were talking about closing the doors. And the community had radically changed. In the last 10 years, when I arrived, the community grew, and this is not a wrong number, an 11,000% increase of Asians, mostly Indians, in the community. And what had happened was the congregation had not adapted and adjusted to the new context that they found themselves in. And so they were disconnected from their community and they were struggling. And part of the reason they called me in was because I was a mission developer. I had some visionary and strategic gifts that God has given to me. And so that was my role. And yet, though, they were a congregation that, try as I might to helping them see who the community was and ways to move forward, they were not ready to make a change. And what happened was, over time, I started taking on more and more and more psychological ownership, feeling more responsible for being the one that had to save this floundering ministry. Now, don't get me wrong. I had a role that I was called to. I was to proclaim the good news of the gospel. I was to teach the faith. I was to help engage missionally and use my gifts of vision and strategic planning. But yet I couldn't do it for them. They also had a role and a part of it. And by the way, who's the one who is the Lord of the church? Who says that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not stand against it? And yet I was taking on some ownership of that really belonged to God himself. And in that moment, that confession, I am not the Christ, would have been a good reminder to not take on ownership of things that I'm not responsible for. How about you and your work? Maybe you're a business owner. Maybe you're a manager of a department or a team, or maybe you're in charge of a project. Have you ever had those moments? Yes, you have a call, you have a responsibility, but do you ever kind of cross that line and you start taking ownership for things that maybe you shouldn't? And you feel the weight of that. You feel that stress. You know, besides being a pastor, also I'm a life and executive coach. And one of the key questions I often ask people are, what are you responsible for? And then just as important, what are you not responsible for? To help realize that we're not supposed to be the Christ, the Savior. Another thing that I struggle with, and I don't know maybe about you, But right now, I've got my son. He's in college in Nashville, 18, about to turn 19 years old. And he's kind of doing this adulting thing for the first time in his life, you know. He's struggling. He's at a college that he's not exactly sure he wants to stay at. He's having a hard time making friendships and connections. He's feeling alone and isolated. He's not sure about his major, let alone whether he should be in college at this point of his life. And so he's wrestling right now. And I'll be honest, with him 10 hours away in Nashville, I'm feeling a little bit helpless. And he's also at a point of life. I mean, it's not like when he was 5 years old, when he got a boo-boo, I could kiss it better and it would be all good. Or if he's having some problems with friends, I could kind of swoop in and perhaps facilitate some things and help out. He's 18 years old. He's got to start doing these things for himself. And so here I am on the phone, and I'm hearing him just pour out his heart to me, and you can hear the real angst and the hurt in his life. Now, what I can do is I can be there for him. I can love him. As anybody who has children who are adults, you know that that's a tricky thing. You know, you got to know when to offer counsel and when not, and what kind of counsel and how you approach it. It's an interesting time of life I'm navigating. But here's the thing is sometimes I feel ownership for this, that I want to save my son. And this confession of John the Baptist is important. I am not the Christ. What about you? Maybe you have a friend, a loved one, a family member, and you're seeing him in crisis. You see him struggling. You see him hurting. You see him, it's almost like they're falling down the stairs and you keep wondering when they're going to hit bottom and they just keep going down another flight. And you want to be there, and sometimes more than be there, to love and care for them. You too, like me, you want to, maybe tempted to want to rescue them. And you take on that responsibility on yourself. You know, it's in those moments that the words of a professor of mine from the seminary, Dr. Okamoto, back in the day, keep coming, in which he used to always tell the class, God is God, and you are not. Basically, that's another way of saying what John the Baptist said. I am not the Christ. Or finally, perhaps it's this. We all, whether we know it or not, whether people believe in God or not, we know that there's something lacking inside of us, something that is desperately wrong. And for us who have faith, we know it separates us from God. And there's a temptation we have is to perhaps step in the role of a savior, right? To try to clean up our act, to try to do good things, to try to make a good life, to make a name for ourselves. And then we're tempted in those moments to come before God and say, God, look at what I've done. I've cleaned up my act. Look at what I've achieved in life. Are we okay now? And here's the problem. Is God looks down on our righteous deeds, and the scriptures say they're like filthy rags. That there is no one righteous, not even one, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And here's the reality is we can't save ourselves, and yet we're tempted time and time and time again to come into that place of being our own saviors and trying to clean up our act and restore that relationship. And by the way, there was a survey done a number of years ago of LCMS Lutherans that said that even half of LCMS Lutherans do not fully believe that they are saved by grace through faith. And so you're probably here today, and you've had those moments in which you've maybe doubted God's promises, and you've trusted yourself, because I know I have. And in those moments, the profession of John the Baptist, I am not the Christ, is so important. Because it reminds us that we are people in need of a Savior. And by the way, in our text, John doesn't leave us helpless, does he? Because it's the next day, he's at the Jordan, and one comes through the crowds, and he comes to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And as he does, just as the one who sent him said he would, the Spirit of God comes on him like a dove there in the baptism, and he recognizes who this one is. This is the one he came to prepare the way for. This is the one who would be the Messiah, the Savior, the rescuer of God's people, and would bring life and salvation to the world. And he points to the crowd and even the next day to his own followers. There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There's the Messiah. There's the Savior. There is the Christ. And he didn't just say that to the crowds and those following in his day and age. This is a word that comes to us there, pointing us in all of those moments, whether those moments that we take on responsibility in our work, or sometimes we even do it for our church, or with loved ones and family members, or even trying to clean up our own life. He says to us in those moments, look, don't look to yourself. There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This one that has come for you and for me and for all of us to be that perfect sacrifice there upon the cross. Because it's there on Calvary, with arms stretched wide, we see the love of a Father for a fallen, broken world. It's by his blood we are washed and we are cleansed and we are made right with God, even when we doubt it, because God is faithful. And in him and through faith in all that he accomplished there upon that cross, he says to you, you are loved, you are forgiven, you are holy, you are now right with me, you are mine, because I am the Christ. Brothers and sisters, that's some good news to celebrate. That's why we gather week after week in this place around Word and Sacrament, to hear that good news, to be assured of the promises and love, and to remind ourselves that it's not about who we are and what we've done. It's all about who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And then we are called, like John the Baptist, to go and to share that good news, to be light in darkness, to love and serve our neighbors with our good works so glory might come to God, that we might be a way sign pointing the way, that we might be a voice in the wilderness of this world today to prepare the way in the hearts of people so that Jesus, the Christ, might come in and bring that life and salvation that he won into their hearts as he has done in ours as well. But this is where that profession, I am not the Christ, maybe comes in handy one more time. Because I think a reason often we don't go share the good news is because, again, I think we mistakenly think that we are the one who need to save and rescue people. We need to convince people of Jesus. We got to talk them into heaven like a salesperson. We're the one who are responsible to rescue and save and convert people. And it's in that moment that we do need to remember that confession. I am not the Christ. Yes, we are called to love and serve. We're called to pray. We're called to share the good news of Jesus and point the way to him. But it's Jesus who saves. What did the Apostle Paul say? I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the growth? And by the way, this is interactive. Who gave the growth? God gave the growth. And we need to remember that also when it comes to people coming to faith, it's the same thing. We plant, we water, we love, we pray, we're there, but we got to hand them over to God and remember, he is the Savior. He is the Christ. As you consider this new year, I would encourage you to maybe make this confession of John the Baptist your own in 2020 and beyond. That you would remind yourself, just as I'm going to, that I am not the Christ. I'd like you to say that with me. Let's go 1, 2, 3. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I am not the Christ, but Jesus is. In his name we pray. Amen.